In the Process of Making, Episode 14, Disappearance.
G'day, Dave Brown here, and I want to tell you, I've just finished recording Episode 13, and there's this feeling I get when I finish recording an episode. It's hard to describe. It's kind of a quiet satisfaction. Not triumph, nothing as dramatic as that. More like you've laid another brick. You've added another piece to something that's been slowly taking shape over a very long time. And when I say a long time, I mean 7 years. It's been 7 years since John and I sat down with two words, Explore Seven. That's all we had, two words, and a willingness to follow our noses.
I'll follow my nose wherever it goes, through highs and through lows, wherever it goes, I trust where it leads easy.
You know, I was thinking the other day about what's actually happened across those 7 years, and I realized if I step back and squint at it, I can see all seven of our creative principles at work in this thing we've built. Not because we necessarily planned it that way, but because those principles are just fundamental to the way we go about making stuff. They're the foundations upon which our bricks are laid. It started with principle number one, the animating idea, Explore Seven. Then we made a whole lot of content whimsically. Song snippets, caricatures, skits, sketches, piles of stuff, just following our instincts and having fun. That's principle number two, the tension of whimsy and logic. 2.5 years in, we decided to limit the palette and make a podcast about our process of making a podcast. Limitation is liberation. Principle number three. And then slowly, logically, our accumulated content, snippets that had combined to make segments, segments into scenes, scenes into narrative threads. We coalesced those narrative threads into the story engine you heard about in episode 13. That's principle number four, snippets, segments, scenes, and scenarios. All of it slow brewed across months and years. Principle number five, slow brewing. Supported by reflection and analysis, using our creative tools and mapping frameworks, navigating the journey from chaos to coherence. That's principle number six. As each episode eventually got made, we had a small network of people listen, critique and feedback, helping us refine the work as it got done. Along the way, a parallel project, The Seven Little Wonders, and a variety of companion projects. That's collaboration, co-creation, participation and partnership, all in play. Which is how creative endeavours bloom and evolve, not in isolation, but in conversation with others. That's principle number seven. So, there you have it. The Paper Boat's seven creative principles, laying the foundations throughout this oddball odyssey of ours.
Sevenwell.org Podcast. An oddball odyssey of the seventh kind. Sevenwell.org.
A moment in time.
So, here I am, March 2026, 75 years old, recording the final episodes of this series, having already released 9 into the wild. I find myself looking back over the whole thing, not with any grand sense of achievement, more with a kind of wonder, I suppose, at what it is we've actually made. because you really don't know what you're making while you're making it. You only see the true shape of it retrospectively. And that feeling, the satisfaction of the making and what it means to package a substantial piece of your life, 7 years, into something that exists in the world. Later on in this episode, there's a story involving a cassette tape, which was the way we shared audio in the 1980s. And so for those who weren't around back then, a cassette tape was a rectangular plastic thing, a bit smaller than an iPhone. It had spools of magnetic tape inside it, onto which you recorded sound. And each cassette had a little fold-out protective case. So you carried around your package of sound inside its little plastic home. And it was precious. It was precious because it held a voice, a moment, a memory, a song. I've still got cassette tapes of important events from that era. Wedding speeches, funeral eulogies, memories packed into a relic of times past. You hold one in your hand and you're holding a piece of time captured.
1, 2, 3, 4, take four. Put them together and make a noise about ways to be happy. Put them together and make a noise about ways to be happy. Ways to be happy. Seven. Seven. Think seven. Seven. Jump in a puddle, dance in the rain, sing in the shower, fly in a plane, laugh out loud, bask in the sun. Smile at a stranger and hug someone.
So, when I sit here in my studio and press record, and I talk to you, dear listener, through your earbuds, I'm offering you my cassette tape, in a way. A little package of sound, a piece of my consciousness, my 7 years of being, offered up in the most intimate way about things I really care about. Theatre-filled rooms are one thing. This is entirely another. This fills the space between your ears. Just you, here, in this Sevenwell story world. And I think that's rather beautiful, actually.
Gossamer stories tell will lead us all to
The story of Polly and Violet continues.
There's a story for me to tell, and a story for you as well. 'Cause there's nowhere we'd rather be than being here, just you and me. Together we are forever friends, wherever we are.
Polly and Violet were sitting in a small cafe near Rada, the same one they'd been coming to for the 18 months they'd been in London. Polly and the band had just returned from a tour in Berlin. This was their first Sunday coffee catch-up in a while. Violet seemed excited. "There's something special I wanted to tell you," she said to Paul. "Aunt May says there's a full moon on Mum's birthday this year. It's very rare." Paul nodded absently. "Are you listening, Polly?"
Yeah, your Mum's birthday."
"I've got something special planned," Violet said to Paul. "Like we used to when we were kids, sharing stories under the moon. But this one, this full moon one, I want us to do something special just for her." Polly tilted his head to the left as he did when he wasn't too sure of things. We've got this big tour coming up, all over, you know, for 4 months.
Her birthday's on the 7th.
Paul checked his diary. We're in luck. It's the week before we leave. Just rehearsals and stuff. Violet's face lit up. We'll do it in the loft, at Aunt May's house. You can see the moon through the big window there. Polly loved to see her smile like that. They spent the whole day together planning stories they'd tell and the songs they'd sing. It would be a performance just for her, for Red, on her birthday, in the light of the full moon. Hey, Polly, you got froth on your nose, she laughed. They laughed a lot that day, remembering the stories they shared as kids, wondering if the Tinsel Man was still up there on the moon and how Red and he might be spending their days together. She felt lighter that day than she had for a long, long time. See you on the 7th, she said to Paul as they set off back into their busy lives. Hatfield, said Paulie. I'll probably catch the train down. He knew how important it was to Violet, and he would never think of letting her down. They were like brother and sister, the two of them. No. They were closer than that. They were soulmates. Simply and truly soulmates. Childhood friends forever.
A boy in a band, a girl with a plan, two souls, two hearts, together in June, we'll speak to the moon.
The 3 weeks leading up to Red's birthday turned out to be somewhat tumultuous for both Violet and Paul. Violet decided that the acting course at RADA wasn't right for her. Writing, she now knew, was her calling. And Paulie found himself in a kind of chaos in the lead up to the tour he could never have imagined. It became almost impossible for Violet to contact him. After 5 attempts, she finally got through.
I've left RADA,
she told him.
Upset a few people, I can tell you. I've come down to Aunt May's house.
Paul offered no response. It was like he was having another conversation at the same time and not paying attention.
You're still coming to Hatfield, Paulie?
She prompted.
What's that, V?
He called over the hubbub on the other end of the line.
On the 7th, you're still coming for Mum's birthday?
Yeah, of course I am. Just things are a bit mental here, V. But I'm coming, of course I am.
Violet was left hanging, needing someone to talk to after her decision to leave RADA to concentrate on writing. Well, it seems that would have to wait until the 7th of July, she thought. But as the 7th of July approached, things got even more insane for Paul. The band got signed to do a feature film, another layer of complexity that required the band's attention before heading off on tour. Paulie found himself trapped between the childhood friendship that had shaped him and this crazy, mad chaos that seemed to be reshaping everything. Over the years since her mum's death, Aunt May was always there for her. She's such a thoughtful lass, Aunt May would say, always thinking through things with such care. I think she knew Paulie wouldn't come. That's why she made the tape recording. It was like an affirmation of what she planned to do.
Forever we'll never forget to remember. She is the moon. We speak in her light. The stories we share will hold us together. Come hell or high water, we'll speak to the moon. Mother of mine, we're one of a kind.
On the cassette recording, Violet's voice was quiet but assured.
Happy birthday, Mum. Full moon, a dog. You've been gone 7 years now. And today, Mum, In the garden, a ladybug landed on my hand. I'm here in Aunt May's loft. I can see the moon through the window. Can you see me, Mum? With my 7 candles and my little black velvet dog. Is she up there with you, Mum, Missy, along with the tinsel man? Remember how Paulie sent the tinsel man up there to the moon looking for me after we left for Glastonbury? Paulie should be here now, Mum. We promised you a performance, songs and stories under the full moon like when we were kids. But it's different now. It's all about the band. And he's disappearing, Mum, just like Dad did. I've been thinking about when we went to Glastonbury, Mum. How you chose to become a different story when there wasn't room for us anymore with Dad. Aunt May says sometimes the bravest thing you can do is write yourself out of a story that's going in the wrong direction. Paulie's been swallowed up, Mum, leaving just the idea of him for fans to scream at. I want to be a writer. I want to make worlds of my own. That's what I'm going to do now, Mum. I'm going to make worlds, my worlds. I love you, Red.
As the moon reached its peak and the candles burned low, Violet sat by the window in the loft. Aunt May found her there at dawn, staring at something far beyond what could be seen. Violet played her the tape recording. What happened next? Well, that depends on who you ask. Aunt May spoke to Paul of a shimmering light, of Violet simply dissolving into moonbeams. But perhaps that's how a storyteller chooses to explain things. What we do know is this. When Paulie finally called 3 days later, frantic with apologies and explanations, Violet was gone. Not just from the house. Gone in a way that suggested she'd been planning it for some time, planning to be the author of her own story in worlds of her own making. Aunt May gave Paulie the note that she left. But the cassette recording? There was no mention of that.
Paulie said that he'd come up from London to Aunt May's house at Hatfield on Lyme. Together they'd perform on this occasion. Forever friends together one more time. Aunt May knows, says not to worry, it's all a bit crazy. That's how it goes. To Aunt May's house, the band got called, the Beatles got signed, the mania began, and everything changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Girl in a loft, candlelit room, a star on the floor, a ritual began, a shimmering light, and Violet was gone. Aunt May knows, says not to worry, it's all a bit crazy, that's how it goes. Aunt May knows. Paulie calls her on the phone. Aunt May says that Violet's gone. Paulie's confused, what's going on? The note she left said, I'm okay, just let it be, I've gone away. Remember the 7th of July. Aunt May knows, says not to worry, it's all a bit crazy, that's how it goes. Aunt May knows.
Written in Indiana, numbers delicately scribed.
If Aunt May were to tell the story of Violet's disappearance, it would read like this. The night she left London, she'd taken a train that wasn't on any schedule to a station that didn't appear on any map. The conductor, an elderly woman with red hair, had simply handed her a ticket as though she knew where Violet was headed. The faces of the people on the train were indistinct, ghosts of possibility, hoping to find their way. The train itself was like a dream that knew it was a dream. Violet instinctively got off at a station bearing a name that no one knows. It was a place as far away as anyone could imagine, a place where the moon and stars didn't need to compete with the lights of the city. A place where the sounds of frogs and crickets weren't consumed by the cacophony of traffic and sirens. A place where stories begin again and make better sense in the process of their remaking.
Everything's surprising here on Gossamer Street. The road is long and winding here in Gossamer Street. There's music in the air. Surprises are the norm. Nothing's very clear. I only know it's so good to be here. Everything's surprising here on.
Well, there it is, dear listener. Violet Greenslade, in a candlelit loft, under a full moon, recording a cassette tape to her deceased mum. A piece of her consciousness, her being, preserved. "I want to be a writer," she says to her mum. "I want to make worlds." And I think, well, I think that's what all of us are doing. We're making worlds, our worlds, small ones mostly, intimate ones, shared with a few others. And those worlds, they're the traces of our being here. We've reached the penultimate stretch of this series now, from our humble beginnings with a simple animating idea, Explore 7, through the accumulation of our circus of clowns to the discovery that our audio documentary has become a story engine, which has now revealed how Paul McCartney lost his childhood soulmate to another story of Violet's own making. But of course, there's the note she left forecasting that something may occur on the rare event of a full moon on the 7th of July, the next one being in the year 2025. Yes, the very day in the Seven Wells story world that John turned 49 and Dave turned 70, where they find themselves in the Gossamer, vying for narrative ascendancy as they struggle to find their way to a satisfying finale episode. Next month, dear listener, prepare for the most unlikely convergence yet, where Weet-Bix meets heartbreak. Until then, remember, sometimes disappearing is just another way of becoming visible in your own story.
Time will never take the place of you.
This is Dave Brown, floating somewhere between the moon and the gossamer, where all lost things eventually find their way home, where cassette tapes still play, and where a girl with a little black dog is waiting.
Aunt May knows, says not to worry, it's all a bit crazy, that's how it goes. Aunt May knows.
In the Process of Making is conceived by Dave Brown and John Bode, and presented by the Paper Buds. Please subscribe to our podcast and recommend it to your friends, lovers, and others, and go to our sevenwell.org website to find out more. Episodes are released on the seventh day of each month on all your favorite podcast platforms. And be watching out for Sevenwell snippets, bits and pieces of Seventological Sunshine released randomly each month on socials and available also from the website. And did you know?
Ladybugs are symbols of good fortune, love, and prosperity. They bring you luck if one happens to land on you. This magical thinking came from agricultural folklore, where it was known that ladybugs protected crops from pests. So their presence signified good things happening. And of course, if that ladybug has seven spots on its back, then you've hit the good luck jackpot.
Ladybug, my ladybug,
my lovely little ladybug,
the seven spots atop your wings
lead the song.
To the song we sing,
we sing.
Ladybug. One, two is just a few.
Three, four is a little bit more.
Five, six is a pretty good mix.
But seven is amazing.